Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guests today make a welcome return, and it's Sri Ramkar and Kaira Ra, who are wisdom teachers, best-selling authors, columnists, radio personalities, master Avisa quantum healers, and they are recognized for their authority on subjects such as 2012, archangelic communication, self-ascension, and Atlantis. That's a pretty good list there. Welcome, Sri and Kaira.
Oh, it's our delight to be with you.
Oh, what a joy to spend this treasured time with you and your beautiful listeners.
That's very nice of you. Now, Sri, I'd just like to address you first very quickly. Having listened to some of your videos, I think you've got the most wonderful voice, and it's terrifically relaxing. I'm sure you must have been a successful hypnotist at some time, and you can probably charm the birds off the trees. But having said that, on a serious note, do you think we will ever reach a stage of consciousness where we will be able to do that?
Charming the birds, you wish, huh?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that each of us is on a most glorious journey of awakening. And truly, as we learn to relax into our authentic energy, our true soul essence, I think our voice changes. And I believe that our sense of meaning shifts, and that we start co-creating in whole new ways. Now, I don't know if I'm actually answering the question you asked me, so I'll invite you to redirect that if you wish. But I do believe that it's important for each and every one of us to start listening with our whole being, with our whole heart, to not only the spoken words, but the energy that is felt and experienced when in the presence of whether it's channeled information, nature, or another human being.
Yes, I think that does. What crossed my mind was that if we go near wild animals, they often retreat very quickly. And I just wondered whether our voice would carry the tone or the energy that would make them come to us and be fearless.
Well, I happen to believe that's true. Here's a little irony, however. One of the things we've noticed since we have been vegan for so many years is that animals in nature have less flight patterning. That is, they don't turn and run from us like years ago.
You know, just a beautiful sharing around that, Mike. We, Sri and I, as you know, have a beautiful retreat center at Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, and it's in pristine virgin forest. Now, we're on Lake Atitlan, where a lot of the wildlife, sadly, in parts of the lake no longer exists. And just last week, and I love that you're asking this question, we were holding a ceremony with one of the Mayan elders when the most beautiful, I mean precious monkey, this precious little black monkey with a very, very long tail joined us at the ceremonial site showing absolutely no fear. Well, to the Mayan elder, he took it as a sign because, number one, they thought these animals were extinct at the lake. They didn't think they existed at the lake anymore. And number two, the fact that this monkey had absolutely no fear of not only showing itself in the trees, but literally calmly coming up to where we were holding ceremony and basically acting like a spectator.
Mm. That sounds wonderful, I must admit. It rather proves the point, doesn't it, that if the energy is high enough, then anyone or any animal can approach without any fear.
And you know, when you say high enough, I just want to add a discernment to that. Mm-hmm. Each of us has an opportunity to generate a love-based frequency. And when we're actually truly harmonizing at the higher levels, there's no resistance. It's a pure harmony, so to speak. And so the past deeds, the past thoughts, the beliefs that you once held active, none of that matters in that moment of divine communion. And I think that's the state we all seek to hold on to 24/7, as they say.
Yes. Right. Now, you mentioned the Mayans there, and I know you have a book, I believe, called Mayan Sunrise. I've seen that they've been quite active in this particular time because of the message about 2012. But what are they saying about that particular period?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked. You know, it brings a smile to my face for you to invite the question simply because Sri and I are so blessed, Michael. You know, we live here in the highlands of Guatemala. We've been, we've kind of been tested by the Mayan elders over the past several years. And finally, we're at the point where they have really taken us into their confidence. And bear in mind that the information we're able to offer you comes from the Mayan elders that these people do not speak English. They barely speak Spanish. We have been forced to learn some of the Mayan language of Cachiquel, which is a stunning language. It sounds like light language to me. And the first thing that they truly want people to know is that their heart is sad that anyone would be sad around the end date of the calendar thinking it would be the end of the world. They feel that their calendar has been grossly misinterpreted by people who would prefer to interpret the calendar rather than these extraordinary mystical men that live in the highlands. You know, Sri and I are dealing with, oh my goodness, I don't even know what generation Mayan elders, where when he pulls out the jade necklaces that he wears in ceremony, I'm staring at 1,000-year-old pieces. It's just extraordinary. We now are blessed to have many pieces that are over 4,000 years old, or excuse me, 3,000 years old, that were gifted to us that have never been seen outside of the Mayan lineage. And so when it comes to the Mayan calendar, they have much to say. As a matter of fact, Sri and I are starting a worldwide tour in July, actually in England. We're starting next the end of this month, bringing these messages to the world because they are that concerned that humanity is manifesting too much fear based on misinformation around their calendar.
Right. Now, you've told us at different times that you've been taken to the ancient secret temples, and you've mentioned that they see this period, I believe is correct to refer to the now, as the resurrection of the people of light. Now, what would that mean?
Well, that's a beautiful question because we all have in our lineage that which they're referring to us. It's the resurrection piece that we're stumbling on. The resurrection of the people of light really means a restoration to the ultimate balance, or what Kira and I are calling the unification molecule, that there is call it a thread or an aspect in our own spiritual DNA that stimulates a yearning for us to reunify with the cosmic truth of who we really are. And so the Mayans, you remember, this is a shamanic tradition. It's very earth-based, yet it has all this cosmic overlay. And to the Mayans, they say we're becoming people of honey again. And when they say people of honey, they're referring to the little bees that only gather the essence from flowers, that are dependent upon the harmony and beauty of natural living in order to sustain themselves. And so that's their metaphor, that we're becoming people of honey. And in the old days, we were people of corn. We had to work hard and till the earth and plant and defend the crop. Now we're becoming in harmony with all that is.
Right. Now, you've mentioned the unification molecule, and I've seen you refer to that in terms of the resurrection of the unification molecule. What is this molecule exactly?
Well, it's a wonderful blessing. You know, Sri and I had no idea. Sometimes I feel like Indiana Jones. I truly do. You know, yeah. We had no idea we were on this quest, so to speak. And shortly after Sri and I decided to really become more universal citizens and bring our residence to Guatemala, we started noticing that there was dramatic unifying energies between the Egyptians, the Tibetans, and the Mayan cultures. And the more that we looked and the more that we researched, we also received extraordinary information from the archangelic realm that deeply coded within these ancient mystical traditions. And it's interesting, it's the traditions that have been the most attacked on our planet, meaning the ones that have tried to be more ethnically cleansed. Because a lot of people say, well, how come like the Hindu isn't involved in this? And the key is because the Hindu was never ethnically cleansed or purged the way that these other cultures have been attacked. And the reason that these other cultures have been attacked and why they've had such a hard time preserving the essence of who they are is because they have carried the seed of the unification molecule that exists within every being of light. And the unification molecule is this extraordinary, some people like to refer to it as a missing strand of DNA. That's not accurate. It's a particle. And I like to refer to it in terms of, you know, Einstein in his unified field theories, right before he died, he went to his grave never quite proving what he knew was there, which is this essence energy that undeniably links everyone and everything. And that if we can open that, if we can reignite that, then we have a much easier time navigating the creations that we have brought forward. And Michael, I love that we are sitting here today on July 1 in the middle of some of the most powerful co-creative energy that's been released on the planet to help us through these times. You know, we're having this extraordinary creator solar eclipse, which actually happened this morning, which opened up this huge creation energy and opens up the fertile energy for the unification molecule, which is why Sri and I are coming to England in 2 weeks, and we'll be spending 2 weeks going through certain processes because we were told we needed to be in the UK to do this, culminating with an event we're going to be doing in London July 28th, then taking it to the United States in August, taking it to Canada in September, and then taking it to the Middle East in October. We are at the moment of divine unification.
Right, that's very interesting. Is the information on your trip already on your website?
The trip that we're actually on, yes, it's on the website. However, it is full. But what we have space available for is a gathering in London in the evening of July 28th. And we're going to be doing a wonderful Egyptian healing rods manifestation circle that will help each person reactivate their connection to the unification molecule and get this a real burst of energy. You know, sometimes it takes a healer or a healing experience to get us out of our rut. And I mean that with all love and respect. When I say rut, what I'm referring to patterning. We're all patterned in so many ways. Our consciousness habituates. And so what it's that spirit, the world, the Gaia, everything is conspiring to shake and quake and wake people up. And so we can make it easier as we just start doing that for ourselves.
And, you know, we were so called that this had to begin in the UK in July. And so I'm very, very excited. And, you know, hopefully we get to meet you or whoever else would like to join us. But it's Thursday, July 28th in London at the 1901 Arts Club, a beautiful, intimate evening, doing this universal manifestation circle with the Egyptian healing rods and activating the core energy of the unification molecule, which will burst open a ray of light that will begin in the UK, spread through Europe. We're going to take it to Los Angeles in August. It will be in Vancouver, Canada in September, and then finally to the Middle East, where we will be in Cairo in October.
Right. Yes, I'd certainly like to know the details, certainly about your trip to London. Right. So just moving on a little, having read some of the phrases that you've coined, there was one I saw that intrigued me. What did you mean by ignite your sacred shield?
Ooh, I love that one.
You know, I'm smiling, Michael, because with your beautiful connection, of course you would ask about that one. We were very blessed on the shores of Lake Atitlan. Was it 2 months ago?
2 months ago. That Archangel Zadkiel, who is really our gatekeeper and guide in the inner planes, came forward and There's a wonderful discourse that's available free. People can download the PDF at shriandkira.com. But just to give a little nutshell version to your listeners today, Zankil basically said there is an energy over spreading over your planet that the closest thing in the English language we would term that energy is it's a virus. It's an infectious energy that builds upon fear and judgment to create further separation in the human heart. And that this virus comes in when people are behaving in rather egoic manners. It's you know, it's sort of like in the atmosphere of the polarity of these times. And what Zankil was offering is this shield, this shield that's activated by the heart. And what it really means is as we breathe and connect with this sacred shield, this blue jewel of the heart, and people, if they really breathe in and out of their own heart center and begin to visualize a blue jewel, I think many of your listeners will discover a sense of the protective blue energy expanding around them. And this energy is cleansing. It's a high-frequency energy that helps inhibit these denser frequencies from entering in and creating thought disruptions. So that's kind of the nutshell. There's more to it. There's a little practice involved. However, the piece that I just want to repeat for all of us, it takes diligence to stay in harmony. It takes conscious effort to keep ourselves, our emotions, our thoughts in a harmonious and clean, so to speak, way of being. And life can throw things at us that are upsetting, disturbing thoughts and images. And if we do not take responsibility for our own energy, it doesn't take too long when we just become reactive and somewhat controlled beings.
Right. Thank you. Now, you mentioned Archangel Zankil. How did it come about that you had contact with him?
Well, I you just keep bringing smiles to my face, Michael. I love the questions. you know, it was such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And it was shortly after Sri and I got together, we, for the very first time, and we talk a lot about this in our first book, Sacred Union, The Journey Home. Sri and I were in Sedona, and we were in, it was Boynton Canyon, right, honey?
Yeah.
We were in Boynton Canyon, and literally what happened was that Sri and I were having a conversation, was basically the last thing that I remember.
And we were sitting in this beautiful vista, and for those of you that know Sedona, you know the red rocks and the canyons are quite magical, and of course the energy in that area is quite famous for its pulses and vortexes. Nonetheless, we were sitting and somewhat enraptured to be in our own union and in the embrace of nature when Kira simply slumped over and fainted. And so I thought, anyway. And what had happened is that after slumping to the ground, and I was alarmed and I leaned over, suddenly her body sat upright in such a profoundly dignified manner. Her spine was straight. Her head was straight. Her eyes opened, and the glow that came from her eyes left me breathless. And this voice that spoke from her mouth was not her voice. It was I don't know how to stereotype it. It felt somewhat masculine and European. It just said, "Hello, we are so glad you have found each other." And that was the opening comment that later kind of unraveled into a most heart-centered, beautiful embrace of divine information. And the piece that I do want to share, because to this day I'm still a little mystified, when this first happened, the immediate thought that went into my head was, my beloved is mentally ill.
That's the truth, Michael.
And as a psychotherapist, I was scrolling through the pages of my training material trying to diagnose this psychic break that was before my eyes. Right. And so I just, the reason I share this now is if we immediately default to trying to classify and categorize things, we sometimes lose their essence. And what happened for me that morning is I was worried and in fear until I looked more deeply into her eyes and I felt this undeniable radiance of love coming from the being that was speaking through her. And in that moment, my heart opened, my eyes began tearing, and I was in such amazing awe to be in the presence of this ocean of compassion. And that to me became the truth, not whatever my mind could say, oh, this can't be real. The truth was what was felt.
Right. Now, between you, you've had a few unusual experiences. So, Kyra, tell our listeners about your near-death experience.
Oh, well, you know, I was, you know, really a very stereotypical woman working in the United States. I was a single mother at the time, and I was working very, very hard. And to make a very long story short, I wound up dying of cancer. And I wound up in a hospital where they basically told me, you know, you need surgery right now. And if you don't have it, you're going to die anyway. And what happened was that I did go in for the cancer surgery and died on the table, as many of us that have had near-death experiences do. We have these. For me, what had happened was that I actually was dead, you know, as they say, they were literally had a time of death in my medical records. And it was about a month later, I went back to my doctor, this poor young doctor who, in hindsight, I realized that my gift to him was at a very early time in his career to kind of wake him up, because he was a very young surgeon. And really, according to all of medical science, for the amount of time that there was no brain function, for the amount of time that I was physically dead, I should have had lots and lots of problems, you know, in the reanimation process. And I'll never forget looking at him from across the table and saying, I died, didn't I? Because I didn't have the instant revelation. You know, this was back in 1989, and it was still very, very taboo. People didn't talk about this. This was before Danny and Brinkley's first book, Saved by the Light. And so I really was very almost afraid to talk to people about what I knew was true. So the first person I actually said it to was my doctor. And I looked at him and I said, I died, didn't I? And it was precious, Michael. He took my file, you know, those big patient files full of papers, and he threw it across the desk at me. I am not kidding. He just took it and flung it across the desk. And he looked me straight in the eye and said, I don't want to know how you know, because it so challenged every aspect of his spiritual beliefs, of what he had learned in medical school. And I was able to read in my file what had happened, that I had died, how they had tried to revive me, that they had literally just called a time of death and were beginning the procedures to, you know, basically button up my body and put me down in the morgue when my body reanimated. And you know, it really scared him very much. Needless to say, after I received that confirmation from my doctor, because again, this was about a month later, once I could emotionally relax and realize, okay, I'm not crazy, I'm not imagining this, this really did happen, then everything started flooding in, everything started happening. You know, all of the psychic skills I had as a child, which were significant, I thought as a child they were pretty significant, came back only bigger and larger, and so much started happening in my life. And you know, I always share with people, you don't have to die to wake up. But in my case, I was so stubborn, they figured it was the only way to get me back on track.
That's a lovely story. Now, just as a point here, I find a lot of people that go over in those type of circumstances, when they learn about their life contract, they realize that they have to come back. Or let's put it this way, if they want to stay, they're told they have to come back. Now, were you involved in anything like that before you came back?
Well, you know, I'm just going to jump in before I let her actually answer that, because I'm smiling. You know, our life contracts are often revealed to us in meditation, or, you know, we have these flashes of insight or a near-death experience. But, Michael, what they don't illuminate usually is the fine print on the contract. They give you at first these the headlines, you know, you have a healing job on this planet. Okay. And then we later on begin to look at the fine print and discover, oh boy, there's a lot of hurdles I've got to go through to fulfill this. And so the reason I'm jumping in is part of that so-called contract was Kira and I getting back together.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. And had I not gone through that experience, I certainly would have never recognized Sri. And, you know, prior to my near-death experience, for the first, I guess I would say the first 15 years of my life, I was very, very psychically connected, had many, many encounters, both what many people would call off-world or alien encounters. I had many encounters with spirit. You know, as a child, I was just one of those innocent, sweet children that used to just walk up to people and tell them what their dead grandmother was saying because she was right there telling me what to say, and I had no idea it wasn't normal. You know, of course, my parents, I chose a family that played their role so beautifully that this absolutely terrified them. You know, my lecture from my mother before the company would come over, you know, you're a child, so your parents are having a dinner party or whatever. And so, you know, instead of me being told to mind my manners, my lecture was always, and don't make my guests cry by telling them what their dead grandparents are saying. and so, you know, that used to be my lecture. So certainly for the first 15 years of my life, I was very aware, very innocently aware, because honestly, Michael, I just thought everybody saw energy. I thought everybody knew the mood somebody was in by the way the colors were around them. I just really had no idea it wasn't normal, so to speak, or by the definitions of normal of this realm, let's put it that way. And then I basically listened to my parents and just shut it down. I was told that it was something to be afraid of. I was told many, many mixed messages about my gifts. I was not in a community that could support them. And so I had really let them all go away very, very much. And it was only after my near-death experience that all of that reactivated, because that was the greater part of why I am on this planet. And I am very clear that the only reason that I am here now and have had, you know, through my near-death experience is to do three things. The number one thing is to assist as many people as possible to know that you will not ever, ever die, that death is an illusion, and that if you can release the fear of death, then you are free to live. However, too many people on our planet respond and make choices based upon fear of death. And when we recognize that we are eternally, universally free, we have extraordinary lives. The second reason that I'm here is through that gift to be in union with my beloved Sri Ramka, to offer a vessel, so to speak, so that the archangelic realm has greater presence. They love us so much, and the planet is so loved and so supported. And I see so many beautiful people who forget that and think that they're alone and stress so unneedlessly. And so the beauty and the love and the gift of being with Sri Ramka is the second reason. And of course, the third reason is simply to be available as presence. I believe that every being on the planet, once you are awake as you are, then we are responsible to hold presence for those who are awakening. Because as you know, Michael, until somebody is awakening, until somebody opens their eyes to the other side, your words mean nothing. Yet the way you live your life, the consistency in your actions, the beauty of each moment becomes the presence.
Right. Very true indeed. Now, you have said that your experiences taught you how to leave your body completely. Is that something you do now? And if so, what would be the purpose?
Well, we do it every month. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, if people want to join us, and we do it live on the web. It's a video cast. Just go to Sri and Kira, and it's tomorrow. It's the first Saturday of every month. And the purpose is to allow the archangelic realm to have the voice to bring through timely and important messages for this moment. And, you know, Michael, I don't know how much longer we'll do that, meaning we've been doing this every month without fail. We've got, oh my goodness, thousands and thousands of pages of material from the archangelic realm. But I know that as long as they still have information to share, I am happy and glad and honored to offer this vessel for them to come through. So that we do every month. And then we also have times, like, for example, as I mentioned, we're in the middle of this very powerful, powerful energy today that just opened up on the planet. So this Sunday, and it's totally free, we are hosting a universal miracle manifestation telecall where anyone who would like to help assist create miracles in their personal life and for the behalf of the world can Skype in, call in, be a part of this free telecall. And we can hold up to 1,000 people. I think we still have maybe about 100 slots left. And we do this and bring in the archangelic energy because, again, when we gather as present, when we gather as points of light with this co-creative energy, the ego can step aside and we can all recognize that every one of us is a teacher as every one of us is a student.
Right. So what time does that start?
On Sunday, it is at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, United States. However, if you go to our website right now, right on the homepage, you can just click on the link that says Miracle Ceremony this Sunday. It has all of the conversions worldwide. You can get all of the information. We're also inviting people, if you can't make it, we have a place where the archangelic realm literally helps empower miracles. It's called The Healing Light at selfascension.com. So even if you can't join us in person, send in your miracle requests, your prayer requests, send them all in. It's amazing, Michael. We actually have a miracle team of people all around the world because so many documented miracles are happening. And that's the gift of these times, is that those of us who have opened up our hearts have empowered our miracle energy. And so this Sunday, it's July 3rd. You know, please join us if you can. I know we have tons of people already registered over there in the UK and Europe and Australia, India.
So all that the person needs to do is either go to shriankira.com and click on the link or send an email to support@selfascension.com, support@selfascension.com, and request to be part of the call. And our staff will send the dial-in number and the access code to the person so you can join.
Right, that's fine. I'm sure there are many more people interested now they've heard that. Now, Kyra, just one thing I'd like to ask you. I noticed that when you were very, very young, you had a vision of the world being destroyed. Now, how do you relate that today in light of what you now know is happening?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to your earlier question also, Michael, which was, you know, part of my life contract. At 5 years old, when I had the vision you're referring to, which was one of the single, to this date, still one of the single most profound visions of my life, I realized that at the time that I had my first near-death experience in 1989, I had certainly not fulfilled an aspect of assisting people to help shift that vision. And so I feel that, you know, the times, as you know, Michael, there's times when holding presence of light, there's times when staying steadfast in the light can be very, very challenging in a world that does not fully understand it yet. And so when I have those challenging times, when I wonder if I can make it another moment, I mean, I truly have my one moment at a time moments when things get challenging. That vision is actually what keeps me going, because if the presence, if the energy, if the message can help just one more person wake up so that together we can co-create and shift that potential future, then I will feel like if I left the planet tonight that my life would have had some form of resolution with my own life contract and Sri's own life contract. And that's why this weekend is so important. I giggle at our time together today. July is the month of divine unification. It's a month of co-creation, of harnessing co-creative power and focusing that. And that window opened this morning very, very powerfully in a new way for the entire world.
Right. Fine. Now, Sri, you mention a lot about self-ascension. Can you explain that, please?
Well, sure. You know, that's really the essence of what our union is about. In each and every one of us is developing our life in such a way that we can once again reunify. That is, that, you know, taking a body, having a human birth is an act of differentiation. It's an act of separating oneself from the greater whole in order to enjoy the reunification. And when I say enjoy, I say that with J-O-Y, capital joy, that reunification is a glorious energy of consciously attending to the expanding unity as opposed to investing our energy in looking out for number one, so to speak, in all of the differentiated allness in our world. So to say this in a less abstract way, self-ascension is the act of returning home. It's ascending back to that which you really are. Many people refer to their higher self as if the self that's operating here is, you know, just not as good. And in fact, there really is only one self, and that is the higher self. And this lifetime is an expression or an opportunity to reunify with that. And so that's really the essence of self-ascension, to restore oneself to the truth of who you really are while still having a body, still having all of the friction here on Earth School. And you don't have to die to ascend. You know, it's a matter of lifting one's vibration and enjoying being here and now.
Right. Now, there is a lot of talk about 2012. What is your take on the actual end time?
Well, I like to call it the actual beginning time. That's my first take. because indeed, and truly, I think we could all agree, it's about time something shifted. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, I don't think there's anyone on the planet right now that would like things to continue the way they are. The reality is that we have brought ourselves collectively to a crescendo moment. We have brought ourselves to this precipice of the new dawn. Now, Michael, what the new dawn looks like is why the rest of 2011 is so important, because we really are kind of a last minute culture. Humanity has decided to really bring this thing down to the wire. You know, I think we're in the 10th round and we're even right now. And so as far as a specific date, the Mayan elders, and I do agree with them, and the archangelic realm, and of course Sri and I have learned it's never in our best interest to not agree with them, have all shared that this date is fluid. According to the Mayan elders, that there is no date carved in stone. They believe that the date has been misinterpreted, that the cycles are turning, but that as far as if you wanted to offer a definitive moment, the definitive moment is the moment that we collectively choose to move into this energy that is propulsing on the planet right now. You know, one thing that is important to recognize that the Mayan elders felt was more important than their calendar is that in their prophecies, and this has come true, and it came true 2 months ago and is still happening right now, for the first time ever, a black hole has opened up that is swallowing a dwarf star and simultaneously sending a pulse of light toward the Earth. And the scientists that finally found this, and it, like I mentioned, it started 2 months ago, what they have realized is that this is a once in a 100 million year event. So not only have we all chosen to be alive during a once in a 100 million year event, this is the event that the Mayan elders say did indeed initiate the shift in energy that would bring forward a greater age of light. And it is projected that this energy will continue doing what it's doing until the end of 2012, which of course coincides with the December date that people have picked up out of the calendar, and also coincides with the fact that humanity believes that the Higgs boson, that the God particle will also finally be proved in December 2012. So we really strongly see that there is a momentum that is building, and that where we culminate that energy in December 2012 is still very much a fluid moment.
And that fluidity, I want to offer a metaphor that was given to us that's amusing and accurate. And that metaphor is that, you know, we don't all pop at the same time. I think there's folks that feel that on a certain date at a certain hour, there's suddenly going to be a grand shift. And from a galactic perspective, it is indeed a crescendo moment. But when you're in the thick of it, it's going to happen over a period of time, a period of duration. And the metaphor I want to offer is that of making a batch of popcorn. For those of you that enjoy popcorn when you're watching your video or whatever, you notice how some kernels pop early. And there's a pop and a pop. And then they start picking up steam, so to speak, and it's pop, pop, pop. And then all of a sudden there's a great burst where there it seems that they're all popping at once.
And just when you think it's done, there's that last two or three that go, oh, yeah, me too.
And those recalcitrant souls that are stuck to the edge of the pan were waiting for everyone else to pop, and then finally they might join the party.
Oh dear! Well, taking your example there, do you actually think that in the we call it the end that everyone will actually ascend?
You know, Archangel Zadkiel, I feel, has offered bar none the most beautiful, loving response to that question, and so I defer to Zadkiel, who said very clearly, everyone will have the experience that they are calling forth for their soul. And so whether or not for you that experience looks like ships will arrive, whether it looks like you will ascend with your body, whether it looks like you feel you need to see a rapture experience, whether or not you feel you need to blow up a country, there will be this myriad of experience that will offer every being exactly what they need. Because as it is, for those of us that have the gift of living in this beloved Earth school, everyone is on their soul's journey. And when we let go of our own judgments around that, we realize that all needs will be met.
Right. Is there a difference between what they need and what they might choose?
Oh, that's a lovely question because, you know, oftentimes there's a deeper wisdom at work in our actions. And I think that the ultimate answer is, sometimes we're not paying attention to where we're driving the car. And so, you know, we're all going to get what we want or what we need, but it may not be in the manner in which we want it.
And absolutely, our choices are what will bring forward how that need is met. You know, that is the blessing, that is the beauty of this planet. And again, you know, this is why I'm so excited about our miracle ceremony coming up this Sunday night, because it allows all of us, again, to look at our choices, to gaze at them. I look at this month of July in 2011 and the power of our co-creative ability. What are the choices we would like to make, not only for ourselves, but for our planet?
Right. Now, just changing the subject slightly here as we're steaming towards the end of my time, you've got quite a few books out at the moment. Is there any particular one that you would like to pass some comments on that you feel you would like to sort of push a little bit?
Well, you know, we love all the books because each one was inspired. And our most recent book, 2013 Mayan Sunrise, opens up the possibilities for what's ahead. It really stimulates a person to recognize that each of us makes a difference. We are co-creating this crescendo, the popcorn, you know, the pan's on the burner. It's already there. And so we can co-create this as a beautiful a collective of communities of light. Or we can draw it out and make it more of a struggle where, you know, we're back and forth and same old, we have so much choice. And what people need to recognize is it's not about making the government behave. It's not about making another group behave. It's about calling forth the ascended state within you right now and let your joy influence the collective.
And, you know, Michael, I have to jump in and say that while I agree with Sri that 2013 Mayan sunrise is extremely topical for people at this moment, if I had to pick one book out of all five of our books, it would be the most important book for this moment for me would be 2012 Atlantean Revelations. And the reason I would select that book is because that book is so startling in many ways. The first, it's three books in one. And the first part of the book is an extraordinary journey that will take people back to the last time we destroyed a planet. And I mean that very seriously. And if you can activate and remember the last time we did this, it will help make suddenly things in this world make sense right now. And then the center part of that book, or the second book within that book, are 12 light lessons that were given by the archangelic realm that anchor an energy of presence inside of you that starts reawakening greater aha moments. And then the third book, or the third part of that book, are how to take all that information and bring it into your day-to-day world. So for me, because of where I see humanity is at in this moment, if I had to pick one, it would be 2012 Atlantean Revelations.
I very much enjoyed information about that period of time. Why do you think it is important to relate what happened in Atlantis to what we're going through now?
Because we're so good at repeating ourselves.
Right.
The fundamental law of healing is that which is unresolved will be repeated.
And we're really good at not getting it. And please hear my smile. You know, I love humanity. I love us all so much. And truly, I like to call going up to 10,000 feet. If you go to 10,000 feet, imagine sitting on the Himalayas right now and gazing down at our planet with 100% full recall of everything that you did during those times, who you were, what you did, what you developed, and how that ended, and watching. It's like watching your child burn their hand on the stove again, and there's nothing you can do. You can't get there quick enough to say, honey, please don't put your hand on the stove. And so that's why I feel that it's absolutely important that everyone, every single being that's awake, walk your walk, talk your talk, live authentically, bring great presence to the planet, because your presence will help others awaken and start remembering too. And you know, it's never too late until it's too late, because the last minute wouldn't be there unless that was it. It was the last minute.
Right. Now, it is said that as we destroyed ourselves as far as Atlantis is concerned, that there has been a divine decree that this will not happen this time. Do you agree with that?
I agree that everything has an opportunity to have its place and its manifestation. I guess what I need to share with you, Michael, and forgive me for choosing my words, I'm asking Zadkiel to assist me here. One of the things that Archangel Zadkiel has said so beautifully so many times is that if there is but one sin, it is to interfere with the path of another, or to allow another to interfere with your path. Mm-hmm. And so questions or these decrees, while well-intended, can create a unintentional interference energy, because someone could say, well, because of this, this won't happen. There, you know, because of X, therefore Y. And so for Zadkiel, for the archangelic realm, for Sri and I, what we enjoy is to say, if there is a divine decree, then go into your heart and find the one that is yours. Find the individual truth that is part of the universal wisdom. And from that oneness, all actions are in divine order.
Yes, I take your point there. It's quite well made. You've spoken of preparing for action. What would you advise people to do at this time if they felt they had something to offer to help other people but couldn't find an outlet for it?
Well, that's a beautiful question, because each and every one of us needs to find ways that express our gifts that also respect the free choice of other beings. And that's a delicate tightrope at times. You know, the most common example that I think we've all lived with is that when we get inspired, when things are really clicking and we have some insight, sometimes we want to run and tell somebody. We want to convert someone, you know. Right. And that doesn't work because they didn't ask for it. They didn't ask for that information.
And yet, if your heart is open and your call is yearning, then trust yourself, learn, grow, follow your heart, follow your heart. If it flows, then use that as your truth barometer. If it's getting lots and lots of resistance, then pay attention to that too. You know, do something as simple as join us this Sunday on our free Miracle Manifestation telecall and see where that energy takes you. Give yourself the gift of trusting yourself. You know, if you can let go of doubt, that's when everything gets better.
Fine. Well, you timed that very well because we have a few minutes left. Would you like to give out your website addresses?
Oh, beautiful. If we invite visitors. Our main website is very simply shriandkira.com. That's S-R-I-A-N-D-K-I-R-A, shriandkira.com. And at that site, people can leave comments. There's tons and tons of information. It's a very deep site. One has to look around to find all the goodies. We also invite people, if they're able to join us in London on the 28th, we're going to be having a magnificent healing circle there. Everyone will receive a blessing and a healing. Information is located at the website on that. And the one website is all that is needed. It's kind of the gateway to so many other opportunities. So please join us at shriandkira.com. And, of course, we do have our monthly telecalls and classes. And again, that information is found online.
Right. And do you still run your Self Ascension magazine and weekly newsletter?
Yes, that's right there at Sri and Kira, and you can sign up for it. It's free, and it arrives via email every Monday.
And we're putting little videos in there now, and that makes it a lot more intimate and fun.
So it's every Monday you get a fun, free little video with what's going on, the energies of that week, how to navigate them. Plus, you know, at our website, also totally free, are daily words of inspiration from the Archangelic Realm and weekly practices to help hold your energy.
Right, that sounds really wonderful. As I said at the start of the program, you sound as though you're extremely busy people, the amount of different activities you're involved in. So you must be doing a wonderful job there, I think. Have you any final message, and then I'll announce next week's guest and we'll have to say goodbye to you.
Aww.
Well, I thank you so much for creating this opening for interaction and sharing. And one of the things I just want to remind folks is that you do have a choice, and that as we are mindful to our joy, that purest vibration of unconditional acceptance, as we do things that bring us joy, we connect with our lightness. And that lightness is healing to all that are in our presence.
And Michael, as you do such an extraordinary, beautiful blessing and gift with your show and your presence on the planet, may everyone who's listening remember that your presence on the planet matters. No matter what may present as trying to be real, at the heart of the situation is your heart, and you are a miracle maker. May you know that you are loved and supported always.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you, Sri and Kira. It's been a very enjoyable time speaking with you. Thank you very much for coming onto the program.
Our true honor and pleasure.
Thank you.
Right, friends, next week I have Laura Ross and Kirkland Ross, who are creators of Omnipure Music. They have made several meditation and music albums, and we will be playing some short clips. Their mission is to expand the light and assist others in remembering who they are and why they are here through connecting to the source. So that'll be a little bit different to some of my programs, but I'm sure you enjoyed today's, and I hope you can make it with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.